today on Real Radio.
He knows everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Is that the God you worship tonight, Christian? Is that the God you know? Then if you keep that in perspective, everything that's taking place in life falls into its proper place if you realize how big the nature and the character of your God is. Our God holds the future.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Holds the Future, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 12, we learn that God wants us to be with him. He doesn't send us away when we offend him, but comforts us with his compassion. When we give our lives over to the Lord, we no longer need to be afraid. Those who know the one true God know him by name, the Holy One of Israel, who we get to call our Father. God wants us to worship him not because we have to, but because we have a real relationship with him. Now in chapter 13, we'll look to the future and the spiritual powers behind the world's governments. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that the same God of the Bible is the one who holds the future. God can add or take away the borders of a nation, like he did with Babylon. God, through Isaiah, shows us Babylon's future. Over 100 years before it becomes the world's first great empire, Isaiah speaks of its destruction. And now in his lesson called He Who Holds the Future, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles tonight, church, and turn to Isaiah chapter 13. This is an amazing chapter. And for many of you who are very familiar with your New Testament, it's as though we're reading portions of the New Testament, and yet we're reading from the prophet Isaiah. Why? Tonight, as you take notes, you ought to be asking yourself, why does this sound familiar to me, what we're reading? This is an amazing portion of Scripture. At the top of your notes, write down the title for tonight. It is this, He Who Holds the Future. The God of the Bible is the one who holds the future. And we're going to need to remember that as we go through this tonight. Isaiah chapter 13. He who holds the future. President James Garfield, who, by the way, was a profound Christian. I don't know if you know that or not. He was actually kind of a weirdo, though. President Garfield, I don't know what medical term this is, but President Garfield had the ability to write with both hands at the same time on two separate pieces of paper. Did you know that? Oh, it gets better. Being a Christian and having studied for the ministry, President Garfield could write in one hand Greek and the other hand in Hebrew. President Garfield. I was at a location in New Jersey some years ago, and I got done teaching at this amazing gathering. And later on that night, when all the speakers went out, the host of that event said, President Garfield preached a sermon as president in the same building you guys preached in tonight. And we were all like, wow. And after the sermon he preached, he baptized 8 people that accepted Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a president do that in this day and age? President Garfield clearly, I guess, did not understand the separation of church and state, which, of course, does not exist, but he said this, President James Garfield said, history is the unrolled scroll of prophecy. That's a great word. History is the unrolled scroll of prophecy. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, records that Nebuchadnezzar says it this way. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had come to the overriding conviction that Daniel's God is the God of heaven and he holds the future in his hands. It says, as Daniel spoke, that they shall drive you from men Daniel is speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times or seasons shall pass over you till you know, this is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten that. And later on, ladies and gentlemen, the God of Daniel becomes the God of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He winds up confessing, there is no God like the God of Daniel. He knows everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Is that the God you worship tonight, Christian? Is that the God you know? Then if you keep that in perspective, everything that's taking place in life falls into its proper place if you realize how big the nature and the character of your God is. Our God holds the future. On July 28, 1787, Benjamin Franklin made a public declaration about that. When the Constitution Convention could not make any headway, Benjamin Franklin said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Isn't that a great word? The Apostle Paul put it this way in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. As he spoke to the Athenians there at Mars Hill in Greece, Paul said, God has made from one blood every nation of men that dwells on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times. That's an awesome statement. Paul is saying that it's the God of the Bible that causes nations to come into power and to go off the world scene. God knows this. And the boundaries of their dwellings, that's their borders. Borders are established by God regarding the nation. Isn't that amazing? And when a nation comes to power, it comes to power with God's observation. And when they move off the world scene, it's with God's observation. Nothing's hidden from him. I agree with Franklin. So as we get to chapter 13, this is an awesome and exciting chapter. It begins, note takers, Bible students, a whole new section of the book. From chapter 13 out to chapter 23, it deals with the spiritual powers that are behind nations. We have amazing insight. It's going to be an awesome tour from chapter 13 to chapter 23. So tonight as we look, as we crack open the study, we'll go as far as is comfortable tonight. We won't force anything. We want to get as much out of this as we can. Mark this down if you would. He who holds the future is the unfathomable ways of God. We're going to consider the unfathomable ways of God tonight. And in verse 1, if you're going to break this up, mark it down. The first thing that we see in this chapter is that God will ultimately judge Babylon. Mark it down. God will ultimately judge Babylon. We spoke about Nebuchadnezzar a moment ago. He was first the general of his father's forces, army military forces, over Babylon. But in one of his military campaigns, Nebuchadnezzar received word that his father had died. And that catapulted him into the position of king of Babylon. And so as we look at this, we need to mark this down. Chapter 12 was this glorious praise and worship of God. It's inserted there, and we studied that in some detail. Now, Isaiah takes us, now watch this, to what he sees. Imagine you're Isaiah. You're in your robe. You're living 3,000 years ago. You've got your sandals on, and you see something. What you're about to hear, Isaiah saw it, and he saw it 100 years before Babylon became a world power, before Babylon became powerful. Babylon existed as like a city-state or an enlarged village. It wasn't a big deal at the time of Isaiah's prophecy. Keep that in mind, because the prophecy Isaiah gives is given 100 years before the advent of Babylon, okay? So look at this. Verse 1 says, the burden, you can circle that word and write down judgment. Some of your Bibles say judgment. The judgment or burden against Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos saw. He saw this. So he's as you're going to read it tonight, he saw it. What's happening? The Assyrian Empire has now already invaded Israel to the north. The kingdom's divided. You know this by now. The nation of Israel is divided into two kingdoms. Israel to the north, the 10 tribes dwell to the north. Two tribes dwell to the south. They're divided in civil war, by the way, in civil conflict. Isaiah's ministering to the south. Judah, down below. So the Assyrian Empire comes and attacks the north, taking Israel to the north captive. You say, Jack, I thought Israel was God's chosen people. They are God's chosen people. Well, then how could God have the Assyrian Empire capture them? Because that's what God does to rebellious kids. Boy, this is not politically correct, but God spanks Israel when they go astray. He loves them, so he disciplines them. He sent them prophets warning them, repent, don't do this. You're starting to embrace Babylonian pagan rituals and worship system. You're forgetting about me. And he showed them through crop failure, and lack of rain, and he was sending them messages, and even said so, but they wouldn't turn. And he said to them, if you don't turn, your enemy's going to come. Now, I want you to think right now. Israel's God's people. They are his covenantal people. They're always going to be his people. But they won't turn, so God says, I'm going to send judgment. And he sent Israel's arch enemy, the Assyrian Empire, to take the north captive. They're led astray. Listen, hooks were put in their jaws, in their upper lip of the people, and they were led captive away. Many of them were killed, destroyed. Judah will be taken by the Babylonian Empire, by Nebuchadnezzar. The book of Daniel, Isaiah chapter 13. There are so many other passages of scripture that will speak to this. Daniel has a tremendous amount of things to say. But this is an amazing reality because Israel, God dealt with her like that. And the thought entered my mind in preparing for this. I just want to ask you this question just because I feel a little sassy tonight. Does God love America? Well, how do you know? He doesn't say he loves America, so how do you know that? Pretty sobering, right? We know God loves Israel. He said so. But can you find a place in the Bible where it says God loves America? How about this? Can I maybe zoom in a little bit? Let's forget about America. Doesn't God love his people who live in America? Oh, absolutely. That we know for sure. So listen, what if God is sending a message to his people? You need to wake up. You need to turn. You need to do the right thing. You need to shine the light. You need to follow me, Christian, inside America. You need to obey me. Could God say that? Could God be speaking that to us? I think he is. And what do we do with that challenge? What do we do with that warning from him? How do we handle that? God is going to judge Babylon. You say, why would God judge Babylon? Watch, listen, because Babylon is going to come and chastise Judah. But Jack, isn't God bringing Babylon to chastise Judah? Yes, he is, but this way. It's in Babylon's heart to attack Judah. It's in the heart. God puts it upon, watch this, God puts it upon his people to repent. If they don't listen, then God uses enemies. He doesn't put it in the mind of Babylon to attack Judah. It's already in the Babylonian mind. God just watches, watch, God lifts the protection, and then Babylon, like water, flows into Judah. Are you with me? Or the Assyrian Empire flows into Israel in the north. Are you with me? He doesn't say, go slap my people. It's in their hearts. He lifts his protection. Imagine if God did that tonight. What if it's in the heart of Iran to nuke us or China or North Korea? Well, we know it's in the mind of North Korea. I mean, they're just off the rails. Those guys are just absolutely crazy, right? They would if they could. They've got the power to, but they don't have the delivery system, as far as we know. What if they could? You say, that'll never happen. What if we as a nation would not repent? What if God lifted his protection from this country? Because he loves us. You say, he would never do that. Isaiah chapter 13 warns us. He has done it in the past. He can do it again. But the prophecy is very interesting. As I said earlier, 100 years before Babylon will become a first-rate power in an empire that you and I know in world history, Babylon, before it ever became that, started from such humble beginnings, and because of its location, became, as you guys know, right in the cradle or the crescent of civilization. And the Babylonian Empire spread so rapidly that in just 100 years, I mean, look at the United States. How old are we? Are we 260 years old? How old are we? Whatever. We're just over 200 years old, right? Look what Babylon did. You guys put the first map or the map up there. Babylonian Empire, 606 BC. It's in the orange. Look at that region. It is just expanding and becoming, of course, the famed Babylonian Empire. This empire was the most powerful empire when it comes to just sheer, despotism. Despot, a one-man ruler, nation, empire. This guy, that's it. Whatever the emperor or the king of Babylon decreed, that was it. He'd have to answer to anybody. It was the biggest or most powerful government, if you could put it that way, despotic rule that has ever been on the face of the earth, ever. More than the Medo-Persians, more than the Grecian Empire, more than the British Empire, more than the United States. This was one man ruling the known world at that time. That's power. And he had it. And I want to show you guys something. Next slide, you guys. I don't know, have any of you been to Berlin? Berlin, Germany, anybody? One of you? Two of you? This is in Berlin. You see, so what? Three, four of you. So what? This is very amazing. I'll tell you the reason why. Yes, it is in Berlin. This is at the Museum of Pergamum. If those of you who know the book of Revelation, the seven letters of the seven churches, the letter written to the church at Pergamos, this is the Museum of Pergamum. And someday in one of our Israel tours, we're going to have to make a layover and go to this location. Lisa and I have been here. This is amazing. You say, what's the connection? This is Germany. What's that? This is, watch everybody, this is the main entrance, the civil, not the utility entrance, not where UPS would deliver goods to Babylon. This is where rulers of nations or rulers of states would come to visit the king. This is the main entrance called the Eshtar Gate of the Babylonian Empire in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. That is it. Brick by brick, taken to Germany and reassembled. Those are not some bricks. Those are the bricks. And it is an awesome museum, world class. You got to go. It's worth the flight just to go to this museum because there's so much more here. The throne of Satan is here. And by the way, Turkey wants it back. They're demanding Germany give it back. You say the throne of Satan. Do you remember when Jesus said in the letters of the seven churches, I know where you live, where the throne or seat of Satan is? It was the temple of Zeus. Germany owns the temple of Zeus. They took it in one of their world conquests. German warriors brought it back to Germany and they reassembled it. And when you go up the steps, literally the museum has on display explanation of what you are looking at as the relief. All these Babylonian gods are massive in carving. On the relief, as you go up the stairs, you're looking at these guys, and they're all bowing down to, by the way, it's Titan, it's Athena, it's Diana, you name them. All of them are paying homage to Zeus at the top. And you can walk up this thing. And as I said, Turkey wants it back. Germany's refusing to give it back right now. But you can go to that museum. This is there as well. This is a picture of the grandeur of what that empire was all about. And I'm going somewhere with this. You might say, what does it have to do with Israel, the whole thing in Judah? It has a lot to do with it. Because when we talk about Babylon, we're not just talking about the Babylon that was. It's a very interesting argument from Genesis to Revelation. The Babylon that existed in the desert in Iraq today, there is a spirit that's behind it, says the Bible. And that very spirit of the Babylonian worship center, this was the center of the world for pagan worship. They had 360 gods that they worshiped. By the way, I think you guys know this, but in your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, when it talks about a year, it doesn't talk about a Gregorian calendar. Did you know that? When the Bible says a year, it's 360-day year. When you do your math in a Bible year, it's 360 days. The Bible knows nothing about a 365-day year. 360 days was based upon the hexadecimal system or the Babylonian math, Babylonian gods, Babylonian, the way they did engineering. That's why today on a compass, there's not 365 degrees on a compass, there's 360 degrees on a compass. It's very interesting. All this Babylonian influence. But Babylon was a power both in its governmental military force, it was a power as a center of worship, and listen, it is a power of commerce. And what was then? The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, it being revived in the end. Very interesting stuff. Next picture. I think we have another one. This is an artist drawing. Look at this. This is what you're seeing by an artist rendering here is that gate you saw a moment ago. Quite remarkable. Quite beautiful, right? The city central of the Babylonian Empire, Babylon, Shushan, as it was referred to, right down the middle of the city. Now listen, some of your ears are going to perk up when you hear this. Right down the middle of this, one of the ancient seven wonders of the world, right down the middle of this city was a river that flowed through the city. And from that city, they planted fruit trees and everything alongside that river. Does that bring anybody remembrance of the book of Revelation? It's almost as though it's a satanic copy of what's written in the book of Revelation. The Bible talks about heaven where eternal state where there's the river of life flowing down the middle and trees on either side. Isn't that interesting? Here, this location of the world where a guy by the name of Nimrod, remember him in your Bible? Nimrod got his bands together, right? And he assembled a tower. And the Bible tells you so quaint-like in the King James Version that Nimrod was a hunter. In the Hebrew, he's not a hunter. The original Bible tells us that that the word is that Nimrod was a hunter for the souls of men. He hunted for the souls of men. Nimrod was involved in false pagan worship to deceive people. Nimrod advanced himself to be a local king by deception.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who Holds the Future, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate you listening. And our hope is that your future belongs to Christ. It's possible by accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. He Who Holds the Future, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with Father's Day right around the corner, we've got a great gift idea for you. It's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month for June. It's called The Man God Uses by Henry and Tom Blackaby. Any man who has a desire to know and understand God's calling for his life will be encouraged by this guidebook. The Man God Uses will challenge Christian men to follow God's will in all areas of life and shows how God's power can transform an ordinary man into an extraordinary force for good. There's also a study guide for small group discussions. Again, June's Book of the Month called The Man God Uses makes a great gift for Father's Day, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.